I had a couple thoughts, Josh, if I can find my thoughts. I think they're here somewhere. Oh, yeah. I wrote notes. Josh, before we get into the goals and objectives and strategies and such, I think as I read through these, and I think these are, you've done a good job in following the direction of the commission of spreading your wings, and that's a good thing. There's never too much information on the table, so I appreciate that. But I think what we're hearing from the public, and I think what we've seen as county citizens, lifetime citizens, is that, you know, our approach is simply not working, okay? We've planned for roads that haven't been built for some 47 years. They still haven't been improved. So we have, I don't know if it's structure or an approach-driven problem that we're going to have to address. So I think as we start to draft the element, the mobility element, notwithstanding what we're going to discuss in strategies, we need to be thinking about how do we fix this problem. And I think the presentation by the three gentlemen earlier is a good segue to what I had written as thoughts this morning, understanding I was sitting in an office in which my air conditioner once again is broke, even though the owner of the repair company called me personally and swore it's going to be fixed soon. So I hope so, because sitting at a desk in an 87-degree office is no fun. But in the 15 minutes, here's what I wrote down off the top of my head. I think DLDOT, instead of us talking about the county working with DLDOT as a lead in our roads, I think we need to reverse that. I think the county needs to take the lead in that planning process. I think this works with what the three gentlemen said earlier in taking a countywide approach. Maybe you can call it a county planning organization, a county road advisory committee, I don't care what. But create a county MPO or a county CPO, if you want to call it, for a countywide planning process. I think for that to work, we need the state to consider creating a matching fund program in which the state will generate funds from somewhere. In an 80-20 format in which if the county generates funds and the state would match any contribution 80-20, similar to what USDOT does with the state on many projects. If that's the case, then we would need to create a county trust fund. So we have to have funding from our perspective to be able to match with the state. And it would be managed, you know, recommendations by the MPO, the county CPO, if you will, to the county council and vetted, and projects would be run through that way. Not to undermine what the state's already doing, this would be in addition to, okay? Obviously, if you kind of have a county trust fund, then you have to have some kind of form funding mechanism. The funds we have in the county budget, I think, are probably well spoken for. So we can't steal from Peter to pay Paul like the state of Delaware does so often. We're much more responsible than that. So I think in my conversation with Ms. Howie Stevenson, that consideration needs to be given to a homestead tax structure in the county. This was Kim's idea. I'll let her explain it in detail if she likes, but obviously this is done in Florida, in which people that are not full-time residents pay a higher rate of tax than the full-time residents, and that extra revenue would be put into the county trust fund. We need to formalize present contributions, as they're called by developers, into a Sussex County Transportation Trust Fund fee. Not an impact fee, a trust fund fee. There's a difference, and you all know what that difference is. See, we need to create a process for rolling reassessment. Reassessment's a burning issue in the county. It's been discussed all my lifetime, and I'm 63 years old, and I never remember it not being discussed. But it's always the thing that if we do the county, if the county is huge and it costs $8, $10, $12 million, it's a big number to do a countywide reassessment. If we think about doing a rolling reassessment based on the time a person purchases a new house or sells an existing house and then it gets reassessed at a higher rate, then we don't have to fund some consultant to spend $10 or $12 million to reassess properties. It just happens as people buy new properties and sell old ones. If somebody lives in a house for 80 years, guess what? They're lucky day. And if they sell the house and buy a new house three different times, you know, then it's not their lucky day. It's their choice. We need to allow for the creation of special tax districts for road improvements in coordination with some kind of match from the County Transportation Trust Fund to encourage that. Similar to what we were asking the state in an 80-20, maybe somebody on a road would say, hey, look, the county CPO has said I'm way down in the line and I want to move up in the line. So I'd like to create a special tax district for my road, but it's unfair for them to pay 100% because everybody's probably using that road. So the county would, you know, they form a special tax district, kick in some money, and maybe the county would kick in a large portion also to encourage that activity. And finally, we need to make a commitment to commit any general fund surplus to the Sussex County Transportation Trust Fund. We run surpluses more than 1 year. Sometimes they accumulate, sometimes they're spent. Sometimes we may not have a surplus. In 2009, we had a big deficit. But in a year where we have a surplus, I think we need to consider applying that surplus to our mobility and transportation. And I say this because the approach we've had has not worked. We have planned. We've worked with the state. I think the state's worked with us, but we failed. And so we have to think and consider ways to take a different approach and ways to make a different approach in a manner, a funding manner that does not, is not so detrimental to those citizens that have lived through this all these years in as easygoing manner as possible. Well, those are my thoughts in the 15 minutes that I did in my 80-some degree office this morning. But please take them into consideration as we move through the strategies, and especially take them into consideration as we draft a narrative for this element. Speaking of the narrative, as we go forward, I'm going to give you a deadline because I think we're moving a little slow. So I'd like to see a draft narrative by next Friday. Okay?
A draft of the entire chapter?
Yes. Okay? And I want that draft email.
Josh, if it's not okay, say so.
Say it is.
I'm sorry, that's not okay. You threw me for a loop there, only because we, well, first we have to, we can talk about that after we hear your responses to the strategies, because we have to know if we hit the mark or not in terms of strategies. And then also, you know, what you've presented to us is a big idea, so we have to determine all the pieces and parts and how we can write that up. We want to deliver the chapter that is the best for the county, not hurry up and do it. So, I mean, that's my major concern, is that if we met a deadline by next week, you wouldn't get good work out of us. We want to do this the right way, not the fast way, if that makes sense.
Okay, when can you set your own deadline? When is it?
Let's talk about that after we hear your responses.
Well, I mean, we're going to go through the strategies, and they're going to be what they'll be. I mean, I'm assuming, having read through them, a lot of them are going to survive, you know, whatever do, and whatever don't. But still, I mean, we have to get to a point where we have some pen to paper. And I think you're a little too concerned about the final product and not the beginning of a product. These are all draft forms. I'd like to get something to the commission to read to get the gist of the language and the approach in a general sense. And I think it helps you, because the sooner we get that feedback about the tone and direction, then the better that will help you to work towards a draft.
Right, and I don't want you to think that we're not ready to go on that. We're actually ready to go right now, but we needed to see what the response was, basically, in terms of, okay, you know, our charge was to be creative, so we need to know if we're on the right track before we,
okay,
you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. We'll go through the strategies, and then I'm going to ask the question again, okay?
We can talk about it after.
Until the end of the day, yeah, when everybody's had their say and you've been through the whole thing, and then develop a schedule for next steps. I mean, to ask him to set
that's
a
exactly
schedule
right
now or halfway through the discussion, he didn't even know what he has to do yet.
Well, so, you know, that's,
well, I would hope that, well, being so, an expert in mobility and understanding, I mean, we all know what the issues generally are. You've probably got a pretty good mind about, at least in your mind, a direction you want to go, right?
Well, I think we can wait 2.5 hours to hear.
Okay, we'll do that.
We do have direction, but just, you know, just we, I think it's a really great idea, you know, the idea you just presented. And the good news is, I mean, obviously that has a lot of details, a lot of pieces and parts for that to work from a lot of different angles. But the good news that is, at this point, you know, for the comp plan, it really just has to be in there as something to consider as a strategy.
Absolutely.
So that's it's easy for us to incorporate that So what I would ask for is, as we're going through the strategies, is that you, you know, if you see the appropriate place where you think it belongs, let us know, whether that's a new goal, objective, or just a strategy, that's fine. But just keep that in mind as we're going through, because obviously the quicker it is for us to kind of insert any other goals, objectives, strategies you want, the quicker we can move on going forward. But yeah, I think Mr. Wheatley's right. I mean, we're ready to go, but we don't want to go until we know that we're on the right track.
Okay.
So based on what we hear from you and from the public comment this afternoon, we'll know whether, okay, we're good with these strategies, we can go. Because obviously a lot of the narrative in the plan is going to support this. We want it to be very solutions focused and not just beating the dead horse and reiterating the problem again. So if we're on the right track with strategies, then we know, okay, a lot of our narrative can be focused on how do we solve these issues, these problems. And with that being said, we took our charge seriously. You know, we tried to be creative, but also realistic as well. And just keep in mind that obviously, deadlines notwithstanding, obviously, these are just up for discussion. If we have broad support for it, then great, we're ready to go. If there is anything we need to revise, we'll go ahead and do that. And the last thing I just wanted to say before we launched was that, you know, we have 69 strategies here. I mean, it's a lot, but we want to make sure that everyone is in, that the county and all of our partners are enabled to do the good things that we need to do. So that being said, if time becomes a concern, let us know. We can jump around to the things that are most concerning, to the commission. And we also included some appendix slides at the end, which basically we didn't want to front load our discussion with a bunch of descriptions. If you need clarification on something, we have some slides at the end we can refer to. Just wanted to let you know a little bit about the flow. Just before we launch into it, I did want to ask one question. Marty, you mentioned supporting the comment we heard this morning regarding the MAP plan. So I just wanted to ask the commission, because that alludes to a similar solution I've heard of before in other places, where they call it the official map, where they actually designate routes they want to focus on, and they potentially actually put connections on there, and right of way potential and things like that. And obviously there's a state and county role that we'd have to establish there. But I'm curious, just before we launch, about whether that's something you want us to look into more in terms of putting a strategy in there, something about an official map, or how would you like us to approach that if you support it?
I'll speak for myself first and let the other commissioners opine, but I think we want to open the door to the county planning organization, and then they would decide, how that map looks and if they want to develop a map or not, what their approach should be. I don't think we want to get that far into the weeds in the comp plan. We'll let that process evolve if the county council so decides to create such an organization. But I want to open that. I'd like to see that door opened, and even suggested that we explore that, countywide. As opposed to the TID proposal that's in here now, because it's such a microcosm of the county. It doesn't mean TIDs won't work or we can't do things within the proposed TID district, but within a more holistic approach. So I'd like to see that door open.
Okay.
Absolutely. But I don't know that we actually want to draw such a map in the plan.
Right. Oh, no. I think you'd be rushing it too much. Once again, we just need to be able to consider that as a path forward, because we want to do better at implementing. So,
Mr. Wheatley, you have any comments?
I absolutely agree with you. I don't think you can do the map at this point in time, but certainly the concept, the idea, I would like to see perhaps vetted and maybe passed on to County Council for consideration. I'm also kind of anxious to hear what the public has to say about it, because it's a very rather revolutionary concept, and I would also be interested to know what the Secretary of Transportation had to say about it. So just to hear it.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to add to that. I think as Marty said, we that's a good opportunity for us to put that in the narrative, you know, actually put a description or an example or something about how it could be done. And then, obviously, draft chapter, that's another chance for public input and feedback on that. So, I mean, that's an opportunity if we think we can do that.
Kim, you have something else?
No, that was it.
I mean, this process is about opening doors, right?
Exactly. We want more options, not less. So.
Okay,
so we'll get right into it. Obviously, I kind of gave you the intro to this. We're really eager to come back to the table after our last workshop where we talked about the vision statement, the goals and objectives, and so we took all that feedback from the public and from the commission into consideration, and then we also obviously added AECOM and DelDOT, insight into that. And came back to the table, and we're also really eager to present the strategies and get your feedback. So we'll go ahead and get going, and I'll let you take it.
Firstly, I think, as you said, Commissioner Ross, this is county's plan, and we are working with the county with your feedback to address whatever. So what we heard in the last meeting, we tried our best to address all those comments and try to be more creative with the ideas. So having said that, we have redrafted the vision statement thanks to Commissioner Stevenson. Basically, it's more streamlined, it's more focused. It's basically giving the gist of what county is looking for through the CPO or MPO kind of a thing to come up with a transportation solution. So basically, take a moment, and if you have any feedback or any additions or any changes to the statement, vision statement, we would like to.
Obviously, I love it. So.
leading example. Leading.
If Mrs. Hoey Stevenson is good with it, I think the rest of us are probably good with it. Yeah. Okay, Bob.
Sure.
I can take it if you're not.
No, I'm good. She's the writer. Okay.
Is it a clicker?
Oh, wait,
Only use the mouse
when you. Okay. Once again, based on the feedback that we received last time, we rearranged the goals and objectives and come up with a whole list of strategies for each of the objectives. So just want to take a moment to basically connect those two, what we presented the last time and what we have come up with this time. And just to highlight, the major feedback that we received the last time was we need to include capacity as a goal. And we have included that as a number one goal. Not just the capacity, we included all elements of capacity in terms of physical capacity improvements, in terms of operational capacity improvements, in terms of using the capacity more effectively, like the ideas that we heard this morning during public comment period. Signage wayfinding is a way of using your existing capacity more efficiently. Travel demand management techniques, that's another way to use your existing capacity more wisely. So we have included all those objectives, all those strategies in that goal. Another feedback that we received last time that maintenance and preservation of existing system is basically a given, and it should be included. It should not be a separate goal in itself. What we did is we combined two goals which were presented the last time: improve the maintenance and preservation of existing system and improve transportation mobility for residents and tourists. Increase safety and security for transportation system into one single goal, which is increase safety, security, and reliability of the transportation system, because maintenance of existing system is more associated with the reliability of system, more associated with making sure that the system is safe and secure. So we just combined those two goals and basically came up with this combined goal 14.2. We also heard the last time that there was a question regarding what was the difference between 14.3 and 14.4. And we responded that 14.3 was basically related to users, as for 14.4 was more related to infrastructure and system. So we combined that two based on the feedback that we received last time. And we are coming up with a new goal, which includes both those goals as improve mobility and accessibility by increasing travel options and developing creative solutions, which will include both users as well as infrastructure. So you will see the objectives are geared towards both those aspects. And the last goal remains the same, which is basically making sure the system is in place where transportation improvements complement economic development. So again, we try to streamline those goals more efficiently based on the feedback that we received the last time. And as we dive deeper into objectives and strategies, you will see whatever we presented the last time that is included, plus there are some creative ideas, innovative ideas that we have come up with. So if you are okay with the organization of the goals, we can dive deeper.
You good, Rob? I'm good. I think that's well done.
So
we'll just go right. We'll just in the interest of time, we'll just go right into it.
Sure.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, basically, for each goal, we have a list of objectives. For this first goal, to increase physical and operational capacity of the transportation system in county, we have four different objectives. Let's go objective by objective. The first one is improve mobility for local residents and access the local businesses. So what we try to do is we try to focus on physical, operational, as well as travel demand management techniques for capacity. And we try to focus on, I'm sorry.
Hand it in.
At least it was him, not me.
It's in silent, but there was a reminder that our session starts at this time.
Unfortunately,
alarm goes off. It can go on.
At least you're in the right place.
Great answer.
And you're ahead of schedule. Yeah. We're not late.
So basically, as I was saying, we try to focus on mobility for local residents and businesses, as well as mobility for through traffic and seasonal traffic. So this one basically focuses on mobility for residents, and it has both kind of strategies, operational as well as physical capacity improvement. As you can see, things like 14.1.1.5, consider bypass roads and routes. That is actual physical improvement in capacity, which will help local residents because then the load on the local streets will reduce. So it is a direct capacity improvement, but there are other operational capacity improvement strategies like consolidation of driveways, where basically capacity is constrained mostly at intersections, where you have a lot of turning movements, people coming in and out. And if you reduce number of driveways, if you reduce access points, it is a way of managing that capacity. You don't have to get on the main corridor too many times. So you are reducing the load on the main corridor, you're reducing the number of turning movements on the main corridor. That will help increase that capacity. So it's an operational improvement in capacity. So we have objectives like that. So how do you, like, should we go one by one and try to?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask you. Just because we have a lot to go through, did you want us to read them all, or did you want us to just kind of put up the slide and let everybody read it for a minute, and then you would just let us know if
I
you...
I think that's the best way to go, is put up the slide, and then we'll see if a commissioner has a particular strategy they want to comment on.
Yeah, because we were thinking that we would not rush through them, but we would get through them at a good pace so that if there was discussions at the end related to us diving into the chapter language that we would... Does that sound good?
That's a good strategy.
So we'll just kind of show them, and then... Okay.
We all have them in front of us, so... And this will let the public see them.
And thank you for getting all this stuff to us. It's been so nice to read through before we...
Yeah, to have an opportunity to read through it.
I'm just
it's
not
cool.
That quick, so it's good to have a lot of time to think.
As I mentioned, it's a lot, and it's not anything we're taking lightly. We're trying to, we tried not to put words just for words. We really looked at like making it as concise as possible, but still allowing us to have a lot of options for how to solve our problems, which is, as Maya Resh said, which is the reason why we decided to consolidate goals. Like, well, why just have goals to have goals? They really need to be focused. So, I mean, our goal, you know, in partnership with you is to make sure that the plan is really as concise as possible and gets to the heart of what we want to talk about, not just, you know, like putting a bunch of maps in the front and then having some strategies at the end. We really want to look at, make it solution-based. Yeah. So I'm hoping that you can see that in the strategies.
I did. Did a nice job.
Josh, can I back up for just 1 second?
Sure. Back to the previous slide?
Yeah, the 14.1.1.5, consider bypass roads. And we're going to have to get to that at some point, don't you think, in this down here? Can I don't know what the word would be, maybe a little stronger than consider. I don't...
Get on.
Well,
I consider.
I'm about to do. I mean, I...
So just to address that from the high level, we you know, we heard the feedback from before, and when Vince is here too, essentially that, you know, we obviously can't make everything really strong, but at the same time, so it's a balancing act, right?
Yeah.
So obviously when you're talking about something such as a bypass route that has a lot of implications in terms of it's costly. There's a lot of right of way. There's relocations and there's things like that. Much to Marty's chagrin, probably, you know, it has to be studied. You can't just say I'm just going to put a shovel in the ground and start going unless it's previously been planned, right?
Well, we're not looking to do this next Friday. We'll give you a month on this.
The point is that, you know, it has to be considered. You can't just
okay.
So. I'm open to it. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Okay, Doug, you feel strongly about this. So would you like to put something in there that just says consider making a priority of...
How about plan bypass roads?
Okay.
Prioritize.
Plan. Prioritize and plan.
There you go.
I mean, you could say create plans. You could say plan for.
I like prioritize, but...
Everything we do has to be prioritized, so I mean...
Yeah.
But you want this to be a priority in this whole thing.
Yeah,
that you want to be looking at this now, not like, yeah, that's one of the things we'll get to maybe.
Prioritizing to be a priority.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, and that's something
the list.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Now, in considering that priority in planning, I mean, how do we put the county in charge of that priority in planning process?
Money.
I mean, to open a wound here, but...
Well, part of that might be when the county does have some say each year in how the funds are spent, and that's one of the things that we've been talking about with the Transportation Advisory Group, and that group could be involved in that process. And as Kim says, you know, no matter what we're talking about money, I think the county will be front and center in determining.
As you said, there is a process now. You'll see later on, if you didn't see it already, that we have a strategy there basically about improving the annual capital, you know, coordination and prioritization. And then also, obviously, you know, as Ms. Stevenson said, if you have the increased revenue and you have another office, then obviously you can have a greater role in it. But yeah, there is a process already, but we can improve that process.
I heard this statement somewhere that money talks, and so
and Josh, it sounds like and tell me if I got this partly correct, that over the years the state has wanted to move forward with spending money down here, but we just all couldn't get to the dance, so the money ended up going other places.
Well,
so if that's you know, somewhat correct, I for one, I think the other commissioners too probably would really like to at least have 10 or 20 bullets of what went wrong, and you know, so that we can be able to participate in trying to make sure that when we get to hurdles before we all of a sudden find out, doggone, miss that one. Because I understand there is money to be spent down here, you know, we really do want to try to do everything we can to help facilitate that.
So you want to?
So
you want to come up with a find a good way to say this? Make a list of past problems that
yeah,
and what, so that to try to address and avoid them in the future.
Well, that's what you'll...
Like Marty was talking, I think, the last time about the need to get out. It's kind of like the need to get out if you're going to do a rezoning or something, to knock on all the neighbors' doors and tell them what you have, as opposed to all of a sudden they just see a sign stuck out in the front yard and people freak.
Right.
To get out to first get something that makes sense, and then to get out in front of it. And that's where, you know, if the state, you know, if we need to participate in that or, you know, knocking on doors.
So I would just say hold that for a little bit because we put a little bit in there because we did hear that feedback from you before. We did put a little bit in there about building early consensus on concepts and working together and making that actual strategy is that we would come up with methods to avoid the problems we've had before, because you are correct. We have planned for bypass roads and connector roads and things like that before. And you know, collectively we failed. Because it's not one person's responsibility. It's because, it's not that the idea wasn't good, it's because we didn't present it right or we didn't approach it right. So I just don't want to jump the gun too much. Hold that. You'll see a little bit of that later and we can discuss it more. But essentially, we do need to improve the way that we develop a concept and then actually go out and talk about it from all different sides, you know, from all fronts. So hopefully you'll let us defer that a little bit.
Sure.
So, okay. So is the consensus just to change that to plan for?
Prioritize and plan for.
Okay. Okay, we'll move on. Next set.
14.1.1 strategies, is that what we're talking about?
Continued.
We're just down to the second half.
Okay, I got an issue with number 8. I'm not real wild about number 8.
I'm not either.
We've done a lot of studying. We have people qualified to review those items, I think, or at least between you and us, we do. I'm not sure we want another layer of independent traffic engineering on top of the layers we have now, do we? No. What were you guys thinking?
That was a suggestion we heard from someone on the 22nd. Do you remember who?
It was a member of the public concern, so okay. That's where that one came from.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't trying to put words in your mouth. It's essentially we didn't come up with that idea. That's what we heard. So
okay. No, we got to consider all the
yeah,
comments,
exactly.
So that's
I just
cool.
mean I didn't remember the source of the idea. I just remember us hearing it. So
and the fact is, in that situation, often the public's not aware of all the review that's already
taken place.
So it's not that it's a bad idea on its face. It's just something that I think is redundant because the process already does that.
So we'll strike number 8.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll just move number 9 up to number 8, and you know, that seems to be a topic of discussion. So I see no reason why we can't consider it.
Yeah, it was obviously discussed this morning. So
yeah.
And to the gentleman's point earlier, strategy number 9. I think is something that we should at least ask the county council to consider, given the concern that there is over this.
Are we having a lot of problem with the streets being underbuilt?
Well, I mean, there's a problem in that they wear out and they're underfunded for replacement. So and so, you know, there's two. You can't force an HOA to provide adequate funding. That's their decision, but. You know, the other way is to just make sure they're built to state specs, and then it doesn't occur.
When they're built to state specs, you can either pay an extra $200 of your homeowners association fee towards the roads every year, or you could pay an extra $15,000 or $20,000 up front.
And that's
for
the
your house.
You know, that, you know, that's the background on why we have county specs is to, you know, the HOA streets are presumed to have less traffic and not as heavy a traffic, so the requirement for the extra state specifications weren't deemed necessarily absolutely necessary.
And if let me ask a question real quick.
Sure.
Because the state doesn't have to take over any road it doesn't want to. Just because we build it to state specs doesn't mean it becomes a state road.
We don't have to, but keep in mind that a lot of these are written as, well, you're limiting your options then.
if it's built to state specs, then we have options to where, you know,
for connectivity especially.
Exactly.
I got you, and I understand that. I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that, because I think the perception has been that, well, if I build to state specs, then I'm never going to have to pay for snow removal again because the state's going to come in and do it, and that's not the case.
No, I mean, obviously there's a process, and you know, that's not in my wheelhouse either. I mean, but there's obviously a process that we have for doing that.
Right.
And those are separate decisions that are made, but once again, if it's to state standards, you have options. If it's not to state standards, you do not have the option.
No, I understand.
Unless you pay to upgrade to the state standards.
Just so. I wanted there to be clarity out
yes,
there.
Yes,
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know that there are a lot of homeowners associations who don't want roads to become public roads. So.
Well, and the state is not real anxious to pick up more roads to snow plow and repair anyway, so.
Right, once again, it's not that it's a sacrifice from all different fronts. It's just strategically what makes sense, you know, what makes sense to take over and what makes sense to help. And so,
yeah, and
you need options.
And the question really on all of these land plan, you know, updates is, you know, qualifying the problem and quantifying it. You know, I mean, if you know, one person has a problem on one street in one development, we don't want to rewrite the whole rule book over that. However, if, you know, if 30% of the people are having problems over 80% of the developments, then we definitely need to change the rules. So it's really important on all these things to get a good introduction or a good narrative, you know, and a good evaluation, because I don't even know that is a big issue. I know it costs a lot more money to put half again more hot mix and you know, twice the crusher run and widen the roads I think if people saw the difference in what it could cost, if it's not a maintenance problem, I mean, if it's really not going to make that big of a difference, I don't know that they would want to spend all that extra dollars.
Right. And yeah, one of the reasons the county has been in the past not requiring state standard roads was because the expense it adds to housing, and we're talking about work, you know, people have to be able to afford a house. And I'm wondering if we, for 14.1.1.9, we just add to it that consider the requirement that all or some of private subdivision streets be built to DLDOT. Because, I mean, we had talked before about maybe each subdivision, not all the roads in it be states, but at least one good road through there that we could use for connectivity.
Exactly. So. If you're talking about official map and you're talking about concepts like that, where you're talking about, and you also saw in there the one about residential seclusion and connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we feel really strongly about, because there's a notion, you know, that's sort of incorrect in the public that if you connect things, that it's automatically a grid. But there's a lot of creative designs out there where you can say, instead of just being a cul-de-sac community that has no access, and there's emergency problems, right, like we talked about that, mm-hmm. but it doesn't necessarily have to be a city grid either. You know, you can have a mix of, you know, and that's when we implement the plan, we can start showing those things. But essentially what it is that you've got, like you said, maybe one road that has some connectivity and is built, but it's maybe not all of them. And it allows some residential seclusion and things, but it also allows you to, you know, make sure that emergency vehicles can get where they need to go and things like that. So I don't see any problems adding that or some. Because that would be when you're implementing, you would just have to come, you know, we'd have to come up with the rules for that.
Right, exactly.
And so Kim's inserted the words all or some after that.
Okay.
For profit, private. And I understand the logic, it makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. Just so you understanding too how the money flows on these things, it ultimately flows down to the land value. Every dollar that a developer has to spend developing the land, it's one less dollar he can spend buying the land, because there's a top end limit to what you can sell a house for, and they have to make a profit or you know, they're not going to build houses. So, you know, this is a bit of a balancing act, and it also could be that it could not only be some streets, but it could be subdivisions of a certain size.
Correct.
You know, and that type of thing. But it is well worth considering, I think, in light of today's discussion.
Yeah, I mean, there's also you could, you know, look at the key corridors that you come up with any map, and if it's, you know, on that frontage, or there's lots of ways you could
you could do it. But just having it in there obviously allows you to have the option.
Yep.
Okay,
great. Yep, I thought it was great.
Can we, are we moving on to 14?
Yes.
Point?
We're moving on.
All right. So 14.1.2, this is kind of to address the other side, you know, which is just the regional traffic, because obviously the first one was geared towards just, you know, the impact on the local and how that, so this is geared towards regional flow.
The first bullet, I'm just trying to understand. I mean, DLDOT does not have the ability to review previous studies. You don't already do that?
So the first one was actually kind of to Keller's point earlier, was that, you know, it was a strategy to work with us to kind of dust off some of the studies that, you know, and this is also for you because of the PhD thing where we study the roads.
No, I understand it, but so, my question is, I mean, don't you do that anyway as a course of business?
This was designed to get to Keller's point in the sense that bring out the studies, see what we can do, and build that early support and consensus to revisit things. So we felt that it was important as a strategy so that, you know, so that the residents and visitors here know that, you know, we're going to collaboratively look at what was potentially introduced in the past and maybe just try to have a new approach to looking at it again.
So our role in partnering would be to just, you know, support your presentation of those reviews of the study.
Be with us at the table, knock on doors, so we can reward anything if you'd like.
Okay. No, that's all right. I'm just trying to understand what our role is in partnering as well.
You'll be driving your golf cart around knocking on doors, Marty.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I walk, actually. I'm trying to keep my girlish figure. Not.
I mean, no, I mean, I like that. If you have a room full of money and you've got some ideas, let's throw them on the table and see if we can tune them up and then start spending the money and getting the roads working.
Obviously, the PhD comment was, you know, we obviously got some chuckles out of that. But it is true. We have spent lots of money on studies.
Yeah.
And the outcome wasn't good, as Keller alluded to, because of many reasons.
It could have just been a few you know, hitches in the giddy up.
Right.
You know, if we can just, you know.
But if we want to spend money better and be more efficient and everything, then the idea is that we just kind of take an approach where we're going into this together and saying, well, what was done before, and maybe we can just reintroduce things or say, what if we tweaked it instead of coming up with a whole new study.
As we work through some of these, I mean, many of these are, you know, repolished ideas of the past, and except for the last one, 8. How do we provide a format, whether it's with a CPO or an advisory committee or whatever, to actually make these happen rather than just consider improvements key east west? Well, you know, as I said, I can show you the 1970 plan. They were considered then, okay, but they didn't happen. So continuing to consider them doesn't get them happening. You know, I mean, how do we incorporate some action item in here?
I think strategy 14.1.2.4, where we are calling it as a strategic working group, that can be what was earlier defined as Sussex County Transportation Advisory Committee, that can provide the mechanism of having a CPO or MPO kind of a thing. So that strategy basically has been defined from that point of view, that having a local county-based strategic advisory group that can come up with some of these ideas and some of these support for north-south or east-west capacity expansions.
Okay, so we can change that strategic working group to include the language that was earlier.
Just before we do that, we may have to have both in the sense that, or figure that out, but essentially one of the other reasons for having this strategy was because of what you're hearing, what we're trying to do with the 5-point study, in the sense that have an early strategic working group for that study that gets together and talks about concepts, but much to Keller, this is another one for your point again, early on in the process, that we don't scope out a whole thing for $500,000. We say, here's a little bit of money, we're gonna build a working group, we're gonna discuss some concepts and get early consensus and buy-in to the ideas from residents, businesses, and then we don't move forward unless we have some agreement kind of in the public eye about what to do. or the initial concepts. So that's what, so that, the working groups are important on a project basis, but then also there's the idea of the CPO, and so, I mean, I don't know how, you know, how we could, if you have any ideas about how we could, we would have to add one, I think.
We can add a strategy for basically Sussex County Transportation Advisory Committee or a CPO or MPO, but as Josh mentioned, I think keeping that strategic working groups, which is more project specific, will basically render more defined project scope.
So project by project versus county and all.
County.
Yeah,
overall.
I understand. Yeah, so okay.
We can work on that essentially. Okay.
Do project based groups for, you know, when you're actually getting to the point to look at implementing concepts, but then there's also the larger group. So I think based on what you've told us, we can, you know, but, and I'm still interested in where, you know, where the best place to put that. So maybe we just hold that.
Well, you guys can take a little bit of time.
Okay.
You know what we're thinking about.
Exactly. So I think we probably need both, but we can kind of figure out where to put the other one, the larger county effort.
The last strategy, the 12-1-2-8, what are the options for increasing the public right-of-way, considering our land use authority?
So you're talking about, I mean, let me make sure I got the right one up on the screen.
We're talking about setbacks,
setbacks.
Consider increased and, building setback distances along congested corridors.
And I would probably expand that and just say, you know, across the board, we might treat secondary roads different than major collectors, and major collectors different than arterials, but those are the three pots, right? Okay,
yes.
Secondary, major collectors, and arterials. So, you know, I think we should consider increasing setbacks on all three categories. It might be different setbacks holistically.
Okay.
I think Mr. Burton on the council had a conversation about this. Janelle, maybe you were there, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or something.
Yes.
I listened in on it because I was interested in that. But beyond that, I mean, setbacks are good because then down the road you don't have a building to purchase, but you still have the right-of-way to create, and you've got utilities to move. You know, is there any way that we can holistically increase the public right-of-way so that over time when utilities get upgraded, they get moved to the new public right-of-way? A setback doesn't let you do that, and it saves you a lot of money by being able to move utilities pragmatically as they age and need to be moved over power lines primarily, or as we put in sewer lines. And, you know, if we have a wider public right-of-way, they won't have to be moved in the future because of engineering issues, weight load, and all that kind of thing. So my question again is, you know, what I wish Vince was here, but we can discuss it at some length, but what options do we have to use our land use authority to just increase the public right-of-way?
So, you know, the concern there is, you know, This is a big one, so I'll just let my brain kind of. But you know, when you're talking about across the board right of way changes, obviously there's impact to the local landowners, so the cost would probably be huge as well. Versus setbacks, you're kind of grandfathering in the ones that are already there, you know. But then of course, if there's a redevelopment there, then you would kind of enforce that, and then you're not actually purchasing any interest in that property. You're not actually increasing that right-of-way unless you need to. Mm-hmm. But having the actual structures and facilities away, farther away from the center line, allows you to have those options. And it also allows for the fact that when we do have to go and purchase right-of-way for capacity improvements, the cost is lower, essentially. You're not actually having to demo anything. You're just taking land and potentially moving utilities. So I'm not sure that obviously, like you said, Vince needs to be here for that discussion, because the impacts could be huge and expensive.
Under your rules, they are, but my question is do we have the same restrictions under our rules?
Well, I don't know that we have the same restrictions, but we have the same concept in that people have to be compensated
exactly
for what we take from them. The modification of setbacks is a very easy way to do that. It's the easy way to at least clear the way so that there's nothing there.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then at the time, when the time comes, we should just let you guys do your thing. And we should stay out of it, because we don't want to be buying rights of way.
No, that's true, but I mean, you know, we do piecemeal take now. I mean, when a person comes in a commercial project, DLDOT says, well, give us 10 or 15 feet, whatever, according to the situation.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so that person ends up donating the public right of way, and then the next door neighbor who's not done a project might get paid for their part of the public right of way, and that seems a little bit unfair, because we all benefit from the widening of that public right of way. And I'm just thinking of noodling through how we can both possibly, you know, spread the risk reward out, so we're not taking it from one and paying another, and also having it far enough in advance so that we reduce cost and utility movement and those sort of things, or new utility installation in the case of sewer pipes. Think about that.
Yeah, and once again, that kind of goes back to the early discussion about an official map in the group. That's something that can be a part of all that planning, is you know, identify. Maybe it's not all the roads. Maybe it's only the key roads that are identified.
And well, then, back so in the day, I mean, the right-of-ways we have today, other than Route 13 and Route 113 and Route 1, were not purchased. They were petitioned by the property owner to the state to say, hey, improve my road and I'll give you the easement. And it was by a petition process. I'm not thinking that would work well here, but it might. I mean, if we're talking about having a special tax district, that could be part of that process. But still, I mean, I'm just trying to understand what our limitations are, not that we will use them or not, but I'd like to fully understand what it is we can and can't do from a county land use perspective, which is different than DLDOT's perspective.
You know, like we just had one recently on Route 24, and we, you know, we all know 24 is one of the major sore spots when it comes to mobility. And they were wanting to change the zoning from AR to commercial. And, you know, I think I'd actually brought it up to Vince when we were discussing it, the idea of trying to go ahead and just, you know, get a wider right of way just for that piece, and that would be that much less in 10 years or whenever that it would cost the state to you know, to buy additional or move buildings or whatever.
Right. And if we were going to change it from AR to commercial, then they are getting something for
It's a little bit of a trade-off.
Some compensation.
Yes, well, I think there's more thought to be had on that. But just to clarify, I want to make sure that we're okay with 14.1.2.8.
I think we're okay with it, but instead of congested corridors, you know, I'd like to say along our secondary, our major, our collector roads, and our arterials.
So
itemize the three separately.
Oh, the three. Okay, because I was going to say, could we say consider increasing building setback distances based on road classifications? That would allow us to
some flexibility.
Allows you flexibility.
Yeah.
Because the road classification
just thinking us down the road, because okay, this is opening doors, right? And mm-hmm, as Mr. Sapp, I think, if I remember his name correctly, where the rubber meets the road is an ordinance. And when you write ordinance, you can't say parcel 2.1, right? You have to have a more general thing.
Exactly.
And so we can identify, as long as those are in identifiable buckets, right? So
yes,
secondary roads, identifiable bucket, and major collectors are identifiable buckets, and arterials are identifiable. If you have more buckets identifiable, that's fine with me. But when we write code, we're going to refer to those
yes,
titles, right?
So yeah, we can word it as classifications, and then
okay,
that allows fine, you, that gives you options.
Now, Marty, are you talking setbacks or are you talking right-of-ways?
Well, right now we'll talk setbacks, and then we'll explore right-of-ways in conversation
yeah,
as we move forward.
I think that has to be a larger...
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you can put consider in, and I'm sure if it's illegal, someone will let us know, as people are
well, I mean,
want
you
to
know,
deal
I,
with us.
I don't know. Let's let them think about that a little bit,
okay,
and we'll come back to it.
Okay.
And Josh will think about it.
Move forward. Okay. All these numbers, 14.1.3.
Josh, I don't know. It's 1202. I mean, what do you got? What's
oh, yeah,
the,
this would be a good
pleasure,
point. Yeah,
what's the pleasure of the commission? We're in a
sure, we can stop
place
here. Yeah.
Is that okay with you, John?
It's fine.
How about we what recess for 20 minutes for lunch? Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.